Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. It's actually race week this week, so I think we're both excited. I'm sure you're much more excited. Apologies if there's any background noise. We physically can't record with the window shut because, as you know, it's boiling in the UK.
It's hot.
So if you are listening in the UK, make sure you've got a fan on, a little bottle of water with you. And yeah, please, while you're here, follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you want. The links are in the description. But yeah, you know, just be thankful that you can't smell us right now. Anyway, on with the show.
All right, guys, how are you doing? So, Luke, quick question. Social media, rank them from the ones you like to the least. So TikTok, Twitter, Instagram.
I have to take a stance here, and that TikTok is actually where we do well. So I may have a bit of back and forth with the TikTok fans, but really, you know, they're helping grow the podcast. So I do appreciate everyone that engages with the podcast, unless you're really stupid. And you might be found on TikTok.
Right, so before we continue, hello, welcome along. Make sure you check us out. Oh, Luke, do you know what I've realised you've done?
What?
Oh, you put the camera along the wrong way around.
Oh, well.
Oh, man, that's a schoolboy error. So, how have you been?
Yeah, well, hot, really. I mean, I think that's all anyone can think about right now.
It's hot, isn't it? It might be too hot.
It is well hot.
Anyone who actually gets that, like what I've just said.
Whereas, I mean, it's a British culture reference.
No, but what movie is it from?
That's what I mean. It's a British culture from the in-betweeners.
Yeah, true. You had your graduation last week.
I did. I had graduation. So I graduated on Friday.
Congratulations. Did your dad tell you what happened?
Yeah, he said he heard someone shouting his name, so he just ignored them because he thought it can't be him.
No, so I'm going to put it in context because it was brilliant. So I was driving along. It was boiling. And I knew Luke was, you know, going to have his graduation. There was loads of people walking around. It's about 9:30 in the morning. You had an early start for your graduation.
It was so early. I had to be registered by 9:30. So it would have probably been like 9 o'clock. People are going to be listening to this thinking like, I wake up at 6 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. driving along and I saw your dad and your mum there. So I shouted out like, Dave, really loud. Didn't answer the first time. So I did it again. Next thing I know, this guy, literally walking past your dad, turns around and starts waving to me. Like, really? Out of nowhere. He just starts waving. I was like, and your dad was like, oh, he phoned me after. He was like, who's that guy who's waving at you? I was like, I have no idea. Unless his name was actually Dave, which would have been brilliant. But it was good. But it went well.
Yeah, but you know, like I actually graduated uni last year. Like last year is when I finished. And then because the pandemic, I couldn't graduate until this year. So it was more just an excuse to go out on a Thursday night and get drunk.
Is that what you did?
That is exactly what I did.
Good on you. Good on you. Comment down below. Congratulations, Luke. Any other big news this week? Anything interesting?
No, well, I know people that have come from Watford are going to have some questions, but, you know, everything has been addressed.
It's not a Watford podcast, is it?
People, you know, think, some people I'm sure think that we've had like a falling out and whatnot. But I mean, you can confirm that is definitely not the case. I mean, I was with Theo on the weekend.
Yeah, I came out here last week, and I'm not being funny. Joe's head was through the window. Yeah. It was kicking off.
We were just kicking his head.
Yeah.
No, so I don't want anyone thinking that. But, you know, I know you're going to miss the boys, me and the boys. But, you know, if you do like racing, then you can watch me here. And, you know, Matt will grow on you. I know he's a bit annoying at first, but he does grow on you.
Such a dick. Such a dick. But no, just touching on that quickly before we continue. It is nice because you guys have actually made this a proper decision on your own. You've actually, you know, and you've seen that. You've already made a decision. This is what you want to do. You see different paths for you now.
Yeah.
You're now unemployed. But
I'm unemployed. Well, this is my job. Oh, so yeah. Please watch. No, it's, but yeah, no. And it is strange because I think also because we actually did have a falling out once before and stopped doing the podcast. So everyone thinks like, oh, you know, this must be someone's fault.
Yeah.
But no, this is something we have all, we'll come to the agreement on, and we are all, yeah, just looking looking ahead now.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're, to be fair, I know this. Also, this part annoyed a lot of the fans. We said it's an indefinite break. People were like, can't just fuck off and come back. That's not how it works. Like, we can, if that's what we want to do. You don't have to come back with us. Do you know what I mean?
Spice Girls did it.
Yeah, take that.
Take
they
that.
Had a brilliant comeback.
Boyzone did it.
But, you
Blue.
Know, if we ever were to come
Bewitched.
Back, it would be because we are ready and we are, you know, we're all ready to commit 100% to it. And we would hope that you would want to return. And if you don't, that is fine.
I think what would be quite good is if you did, like, when you're 50 years old.
Yeah, well,
you come back.
Just to see how our lives have gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah. Luke's been divorced 3 times by that.
Why would I be divorced?
Well, I don't know. I'm making up scenarios, you know. Joe...
Still not married.
Still not married. Theo...
Still hasn't got any hair.
Right, enough from waffling. But would you like some F1 news?
Yeah, see, this is the main reason I turn up every week. I'm sure, actually, some of you are probably the same. Like, it's nice to have one location as, like, a source of information. Mm. Rather than, like, picking bits up from everywhere, I just get it from here.
I quite like, you know, when we do the edits, I post them. And a couple of people say it's nice. They literally just go there. You know, like, with the timings. People like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is actually, I always, every, like, Friday morning, I'll go to Racecast Insta to see what, like, how to plan my weekend.
Yeah, people like it. People like it. So, last race was Austria. And there was a lot of controversial opinions about marshals, Carlos Sainz. Did they act quick enough? But Red Bull ring marshals have defended their handling of Carlos Sainz fire at F1's Austrian Grand Prix last weekend. After criticism, they responded too slowly. However, they've come out, actually, the marshals have actually come out and said, you know, intervention is only allowed after instruction from race control. I didn't know that.
Okay, so that's all passing the buck.
Yeah. So they go on saying, on one hand, the naturally increases the safety of the drivers and marshals. But on the other hand, it has a disadvantage that interventions take longer than expected. It was slow.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz said it was very slow. I mean...
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I'm not being funny. 5 seconds in a burning car probably feels like 5 minutes. But I do agree with him. I do find that a bit of a... You know, and we said last week we don't want to have a go at the marshals or anything. That's not the case. Like, it's more just like moving forward, how can we sort of make this more efficient and safer for the drivers? But yeah, of course, the marshals. There's got to be a degree of like, I don't know what the word is, but sort of like intuition where like they could be like, the car's on fire. Race controller probably going to go and tell me to like...
Yeah.
Put that out. You know, there's no coming back from that. So I do think, yeah, there needs to be, you know, surely
that clarity.
Yeah, like I appreciate like race control, they're in charge of everything and I understand why they oversee things. But like there needs to be like protocols written in where like, you know, if the car's on fire, don't worry about us contacting you because that 3 to 4 seconds could actually like save a life.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I found it really weird. I never realized they had to wait for race control. No. I understood with, you know, certain crashes and you have to wait to be told they can go and pick up debris and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd get it and understand it. But in situations like that...
To like physically rescue a driver.
I always think it's just naturally...
It's instinct, isn't it? Just...
But actually the fact that, can you imagine you're standing there going, oh, yeah. the radio's broke. Oh shit, how do I get hold of this? You know, it's...
So he hasn't got long left.
You're going to have to be quick to make a decision here, yeah. But no, I found that quite interesting. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. I personally think there needs to be, it needs to be dealt with quicker.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's incidents like this give rise to questions moving forward as into how can we refine the situation?
Yeah.
You know, if something like that happens again, if the driver has come out and said, I'm not being funny, that was too slow. I mean, he would have been shitting himself, obviously.
And I think, but what I didn't understand in that situation, the car was rolling back and the stewards were there, but they were like, look, mate, you're going to have to roll back. I can't touch the car until I've been told.
So is that why they didn't touch it?
No, but can you literally, that's what they didn't tell me that I could touch the car.
Just waving at him as he's rolling back.
See, like, but no, I think Marshall's do a great job and I think there just needs to be a bit more clarity. And I, like you say, for Carlos Sainz, in that moment, it is a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, his priority is getting out of the car. And when it's rolling back, it's pretty much impossible to get out of that car.
Yeah, yeah. No, and like I say, it had me on the edge of my seat. Like, when I was watching it, I started panicking.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, he's going to get
cooked. It went up
here.
Quick.
Yeah, it went up quick. It did. But, yeah, no, that's. I think that's a good point. Mm. I mean, let us know. What do you think? Looking forward, do you think incidents like that is enough for the FIA to need to change the rules a little bit or look into it and see how we address issues moving forward?
Yeah, no, I agree. In other news, there's been a lot of rumbling that actually Lewis Hamilton was never happy when George Russell came to Mercedes. Hamilton wanted Bottas there. And he never, apparently, you know, Hamilton never really accepted the decision Toto Wolff made. We've heard rumours of that, haven't we, ever since that all happened?
I actually haven't.
Haven't you? No. I when it happened, there was a lot of rumours about it, like, oh, Lewis Hamilton isn't happy. Lewis Hamilton didn't have a say in it. However,
why should he?
No, I agree. But this is what's happened. So Lewis Hamilton, when he was asked about a transition into new teammate George Russell.
Was this recently?
This was recently. Okay. This was this week. Apparently, it was deemed as, some reports have said, it's been tough. The transition from Bottas to Russell has been tough for Lewis Hamilton. However, he has come out this week and said, I wouldn't say it's been tough. It's been pleasant. We've worked together incredibly well. George has had a positive impact on the work environment. It's generally been a real pleasure to work with him. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, I think firstly, right, I could understand if Hamilton was a little bit like, oh, you know, new boy coming in.
Yeah.
Because it, to him, that's probably signaling, oh, okay, I'm pushing on, which is true. He's 37 years old.
Yeah.
Still well in his prime. That's fine, but that's not normal.
No.
And, you know, now they're getting a young driver in. They're like clearly tapping him up, getting him ready to be the replacement.
He's a future, isn't he?
Yeah, so that is naturally probably quite intimidating to a man that probably never wants to retire if he had the choice. And then he had the perfect number two driver, where Lewis was always the number one. So, you know, that was no secret. So I could understand why, but I think also at the same time, you have to look at the flip side. The team was becoming stale. Bottas wasn't really offering anything in that competitive side. He wasn't pushing Lewis.
If Bottas was doing the same as what Perez was doing, yeah, Bottas would still be in a Mercedes driver.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, George has come in and it's definitely got to push Lewis. Hmm. You know, he's now, because now it's even more of a pride thing to, like, he's like, well, I've got to beat George.
Yeah.
And yeah, rightfully so. So I think it's actually, I do think it's a good thing for Lewis. I think it's a good thing for the team. And I would hate to think that he just wants like an easy number two as like his teammate.
I think it was convenient when it was there, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
I think what showed last year is Hamilton still has the drive and the talent to, you know, challenge at the top.
Yeah.
And now he's got that extra added challenge by George Russell coming in. And I think that's good for him. And I think he's embracing it. And I think he's enjoying it. You see how he is this year. He is actually quite chilled in certain interviews. Yeah. He's very complimentary of his team. He seems more chilled this year.
I think also what we saw last year is the importance of having a good teammate. And yeah, we'll get on to Bottas and some of his defensive driving when talking about last year's French Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And if you compare it to Perez made it a real nightmare for Lewis sometimes. I mean, two examples that literally come straight to mind are Interlagos.
Yeah.
Where, like, Lewis is in that really quick car and he got past him down, like, not the pit. Was it the pit straight? I think it was the pit straight. But then Perez took him back.
Yeah.
And then I know Lewis got him next lap, but It's those little things that are enough to slow a driver down. And
Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, Abu Dhabi. Prime and that, you know, that is the prime example. That.
Turkey? With the wet race? Do you remember when there was a white livery for Red Bull?
Was that not Mexico?
No. It was Turkey. It's where Bottas won, and they kept Hamilton out, and he was livid that he had to pit.
Oh.
Do you remember? Yeah, and there was that round, because Hamilton almost barged him off into the pit lane.
Is Turkey? Oh, no, it's Russia where it rained. Yeah, I do remember.
Turkey, yeah.
Didn't Lewis had to take a penalty or something, didn't he?
No, not for that, I don't think.
Oh, did he just stink it up?
Hmm.
I don't remember.
Well, because you remember he went out on, he wanted to be kept out on those tyres, didn't he?
No, I remember the race. Because Bottas just...
Bottas won.
Yeah, that was a really good performance from him.
But all weekend. But what I mean is the defence from Perez, that's what I'm talking about, not necessarily defence from Bottas.
Yeah, no, but like I say, Perez really gave Hamilton a hard time last season. And that makes such a big difference. So I think as a team, you know, Lewis has got to be, in my opinion, grateful that he's now got a teammate that is definitely going to give a bit more.
And not back out of challenges.
No, yeah. We said, we've spoken about Bottas before.
Yeah.
Sometimes just comes across as too nice.
Yeah, I agree. Fernando Alonso has had quite a lot to say this week. The double F1 world champion has labelled a sport as boring. Amid claims that there are only four drivers realistically in contention to win the title this year. Do you know who they are?
Well, probably Sainz, Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez.
Spot on. Alonso says the GPs have become more fun and with these cars you can fight better. Still, I think it's too boring, but it's also part of F1. There will always be teams that are faster than others. So that was the first story of the week.
And, you know, to be fair, that is rich coming from him having raced for, like, in that Renault, which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then he went to McLaren. And then, pretty sure from McLaren, he went on to Ferrari, who, okay, weren't quite at the top of the game then. But he still, actually, he competed with Vettel in those seasons. So.
But it's always been like that. You always have the faster teams. That's always, F1's been like that for years. It's never going to change.
And we've actually said on here that we would rather actually the top, you know, not knowing who's going to win from race to race. It would be amazing if you could be like, I don't know, all 10 teams could win this race.
I can't see it ever happening, though.
No, and it won't. It is just part of the sport. But I wonder if he would be saying the same if he was driving a Red Bull.
Mm, very true. Also, he has come out this week. So there was a lot of reports that actually Alonso is holding back the younger talents coming through.
I liked this story. This is one I actually saw.
Yeah. And his comment was brilliant. See, I like Alonso. I think he's brilliant. And I think he's at that age now where he doesn't give a crap what he says.
Yeah, and I think he's earned the right to actually speak what is on his mind.
Yeah. He said, if you are slow and perform moderately, you block the way for up and coming talents. Then you have to make room. I'm still fast. It's the other drivers who lock the door for fresh blood. Who do you think he's aiming that at? Because I was thinking about this afterwards, and actually true, he is still fast. So
yeah,
he deserves to be in the sport because he's had some unlucky performances with car troubles. However, he is still performing. But who do you think he is aiming it at where it says it's other drivers who lock the door for fresh blood?
Well, I think he's got to be looking at people like Latifi who have, you know, people that are in the sport purely on that money driven thing. Danny Rick?
I think for me, that's who I think is aimed at.
Yeah, and people and I don't think it's a dig or anything, but I think he's just, you know, making a firm point that, well, like, it's a bit ridiculous to say that I'm the issue here. But and I completely agree with him.
Me too.
The problem does not lie with it doesn't matter if he's 55. If he's still putting in good times, he's not keeping anyone out of the sport. He's rightly earned his place to still be in the sport. But yeah, you do have drivers, maybe like Danny Rick, who, you know, oh God, we give him a hard time. I feel for it. But yeah, I could understand why you would say that. And that's not even to say that Danny Rick hasn't earned his spot in the sport, because he most definitely has, but...
But like he says, somebody's blocking the door for fresh talent to come through.
Yeah, I just think for that to be targeted at Alonso as opposed to someone like, even, I don't know, you could look at Seb over the last couple of years. You know, it might make more sense if those accusations or whatever, those comments were directed to those sort of drivers, not someone who is actually putting in really good times.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let us know what your thoughts are on Alonso's. He's had a busy week. He's had a busy week coming out and saying what he feels. Yeah. So it was agreed this, last weekend to increase this year's spending limit. So of 140 million for each team, this will be increased by 3.1% due to the high level of inflation that has gripped the global economy. Steiner's come out.
It's not even that much though, really, is it?
3.1%. So
it's like 4 mil or something.
Still big though, isn't it? In grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but when you consider that, like, if you total a car, that's a mil.
That's what I mean. So Haas will be delighted because...
Well, yeah, true.
That's just basically that.
But I feel like you're about to tell me he's not actually delighted.
So Gunther has come out and said, obviously, the big teams wanted more. The small teams wanted nothing. And the compromise was in the middle. But I think it shows, again, it's the end. In the end, we work together. So from what I take from that is... The smaller teams were happy to take to not have any increase, but the bigger teams actually wanted more than 3.1%.
Yeah, well, and you know, the thing is with the bigger teams, right, is they get to a point when you're competing,
yeah,
where you do have to invest, and you know, you're constantly pushing to close that gap,
yeah,
or to extend that gap. So I can understand why they want more money. There's more for them to lose and gain in this.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Than the small teams who can just chip away, and there's not maybe so much pressure on them to upgrade. They'll just upgrade as and when.
Yeah.
But I like what you said. You know, it does symbolise that they do have to work together.
Mm.
If there was a huge increase in this cost cap, then, you know, that really would affect the smaller teams negatively, because I think the gap would just extend from those top teams to the smaller teams. But they also recognize that, okay, they're going to need a bit more money, so can we meet somewhere in the middle, and that sort of suits everyone.
I still think this is a massive win for the big teams, and I think I'm not just saying that because obviously it is, because they got an increase of 3.1%, but I think it, you know, any increase was always going to be a benefit for the bigger teams and not the smaller teams. And that's shown for this, because once again, rules, like we said before, if you're going to follow the rules, you stick to what you've got regardless of inflation, you live within your means. Again, big teams have voted for this, they wanted this, so they've been given it. I have, you know what I say, you know, a lot of people give us stick when we said about George Russell, for example, being allowed to race in Silverstone. We said, actually, it would be nice. A lot of people gave us stick because, oh, hang on, rules are rules. In my opinion, rules are rules. You start a season with what you've got, and that is it for your season. You either live with what you've got, and if you can't do upgrades, then you look at other ways of improving your car with no upgrades. Do you know what I mean? Feel like I'm going around in circles here, but...
No. I you know, I do understand it.
Mm.
But then, yeah, I don't know. There is that point of like, well, no one expected inflation to rise.
No, but then I think that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, no, and we've spoken about how exciting it would be if it did get to a point where like teams couldn't afford to, like, you know, if Red Bull and Ferrari and Mercedes spent all their money and then like they crash.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we can't afford to. Well, not they can't afford, but we haven't got the budget to fix this, so we are just going to take the rest of the year off. Who's going to win the championship? You know, like, it would make it exciting.
Final race of the season, Latifi gets his point.
But then it's like, is that proper, you know?
Mm.
Is that what we'd really want to see?
I get it. I do get why they've done it, and I do understand it, and I think, yes, fine. I just think if the FIA are so...
Think it quite comes out like that.
It doesn't, though. If they're implementing these rules and this is they're being strict...
No, you say rigorously.
I can't. Rigorously. Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's all right. But I can't say it quick. Rigorously.
Rigorously.
Yeah, we'll add that one to the...
But I do also think at the same time, right, that implementing the cost cap has already done. What are you looking at?
Just looking at the battery.
Surely you can just see it. The implementing the cost cap has already done so much for the smaller teams. What I'd be interested to know, actually, I don't know if you can pull it up on the laptop quick. What was Mercedes and Red Bull's spend last year? I don't even know if they had to disclose that sort of stuff. But, you know, what is it in comparison to 140 mil? Did they spend 350 mil? Did they spend 200 mil? Just because, you know, I'd like to see how much this actually has impacted the spending.
So,
because we all talk about cost cap, but like...
Okay, so budget between 2015 and 19, this is what's come up. Mercedes had a budget of 527 million.
A season?
No, budget between those four seasons.
Well, that's less than 140 mil.
I'm trying to find it. It doesn't seem like it's coming up. It doesn't say.
If anyone can find that out, how much money did Mercedes and Red Bull, and then maybe a lower team, if you can find out how much did, I mean, Haas must have spent a fortune last season. Oh, they didn't do any upgrades, but they did. The car did seem to break down quite a lot. Maybe one of the smaller teams like Williams, you know, how much did they spend last season? What was their expenditure? I think it would be really interesting to compare.
I didn't know this. Did you know it drops next year as well?
It's dropping.
So the cap was reduced from 145 million to 140 million for this year.
Wait, so last year they could spend 145?
This is what is coming up here.
Wait, so there was a cost cap last year?
I don't think there was, but this is all I'm seeing. But anyway, so it drops 140 million this year for cost cap, okay? It then drops apparently to 135 million next year.
I'm guessing this is because they've already developed the car.
So they dropped it. Okay. So I'll find out a bit more information. I'll bring it to you next week.
Yeah. And if any of you can get involved, send us a DM.
Any of you smart lot. Yeah,
tweet us. Comment down below on the
video. I like the smart DMs. Oh, guys, just so you know, this is why this has happened. I'm like, oh, I quite like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it is nice. If we post something or if we, a lot of the time we talk about stuff and like, why did that happen? And you let us know. I mean, to be fair, we've never sat here and claimed to be absolute geniuses.
Nope, not at all.
We're just here having a chat.
Drive to Survive.
Fans.
We are. So apparently Max Verstappen has revealed that controlling how he is portrayed in this season's Drive to Survive was one of the conditions behind his return to the documentary. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, I don't know. Like, it says, I mean, is your ego that damaged that, like... And I do get it to a point when, like, you're... But, I mean, how was he portrayed? Like, I swear he was never portrayed as, like, some, like, evil monster.
No. He said, I sat together with them and I explained what I thought about it and what went wrong in the past. We will try to improve from here. So, I don't really know... I didn't think he was that bad in previous ones.
This thing, like, how egocentric have you got to be like, no, if you're going to talk about me, I want it to be how I want it.
I don't think it was necessarily always about him. It was how the drivers were portrayed. I think, you know, I remember reading an article about this last year that actually it wasn't necessarily about how he was portrayed all the time. It was how the F1 in general was portrayed.
No, and I can understand that because it definitely looks like they engineer beef between people. Yeah. Like with Lando and Danny Ric, I think they've done that. I can't really remember anything else, but like, yeah, I can understand. But at the same time,
Haas,
yeah, but that
smashed my door. Whatever, what did he say?
But that didn't look engineered. That looked like there actually was.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like it's a TV show.
Yeah,
they're
meant to be entertainment.
Yeah, like that. I think people understand it at the same time.
Although I'm going to say for the final time ever, you failed on last year's ones. The last episode was disappointing. You let yourself down. That was your perfect opportunity to become one of the greatest shows in Netflix history.
It was crap.
And you... What's the word you'd use?
Fucked it.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that would do.
We just saw everything that we had already seen.
Yeah, it was nothing new, was it?
It was just like a waste of time. I just had to relive a nightmare. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to see like Lewis punching a window or something.
You know, going back, having a bust up with Verstappen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all.
He disappointed us.
But yeah, I you know, fair enough. He's, at the end of the day, he's got a public image to maintain. I personally don't think he was ever portrayed in some way. If it's on behalf of the other drivers, then fair enough. But like, surely he's not going to have a, unless he's like director, he's not going to change much.
Exactly. Before we get on to France, I've got a little quiz for you. So I posted something on Instagram the other day about the 2022 damage costs for each team.
Okay.
So should we play a little game? So at in first place with damage of $4 million, what team is it? Can play at home. Let me know how many you get.
Well, I'm going to say someone like Haas. They've had a few like totaled cars.
It is Williams.
Williams? Is that Latifi?
Latifi just on his own, yeah.
No, he hasn't really...
I mean, I'm not being funny. Saudi Arabia, he had a few little ones. He had that smash up in Australia.
Yeah, no. Okay, true.
In second with 3.4 million worth of damage, who is it?
Now I'm going to say Haas.
Haas, yes, you're correct. In third with 3.33 million?
Aston Martin.
Very good.
Oof.
In fourth with 3.29 million.
You know, Alpine have had a few problems.
Wasn't Alpine. Think recent.
Ferrari?
Nope.
Mercedes?
Yeah.
Really?
Mercedes there in fourth.
In fourth?
Yep.
Well, but they've had two crashes.
Yep. I'm only going by, look, I don't make the rules. I only go by these stats. Okay.
But that is, I guess they did, like, they had to get, Lewis had to get a new chassis, didn't he?
Yeah. It was expensive.
But yeah, Christ, that is, I mean, considering, like, looking at the reliability, like, Carlos Sainz had a car that set on fire.
Well, yeah. Okay, this was actually done just after Austria, so it may not have the full impact of it.
Okay.
So in fifth with 3.02 million.
Now I'm going to say Aston Martin.
No, you've already said that. You mean Alpine?
I meant Alpine.
Yeah, good. Well done. After Alpine with 2.87 million.
Ferrari.
Alfa Romeo. Then Ferrari.
Okay.
And who are your bottom three? They're all in the 1 million mark.
Well, I don't really remember McLaren, actually. I know they've had different issues, but like they haven't like had any like totaled cars.
Nope.
So I'm going to say McLaren is the lowest.
Nope, McLaren a third in eighth. And then
Red Bull.
Then
I can't even think. AlphaTauri.
Yeah, apparently the bottom.
But they've had so many issues.
They've had issues, but again, I suppose this goes down to how much damage you've done to your car, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, but they've... God, I mean, at Silverstone alone.
Yeah.
Yuki Tsunoda was on a mad one.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
That is quite interesting, though. Yeah. The fact that Mercedes have literally had... I know they've picked up little
bits. Yeah, but you've got to remember Silverstone as well.
Yeah. No, oh, yeah. No, true.
Silverstone. Damage at Silverstone.
That's crazy, though, how much of an impact just a few crashes make.
So no wonder they wanted to cost capitalize. Yeah. Right, let's get on to France, shall we? It is quiz time. This is a chance that Luke can actually win 1 month of his mortgage paid.
Which I need now.
Yeah. Since leaving Waffling, you're now unemployed. So I'll tell you when it is time for you to play for the big prize.
Yep.
Play at home, let us know how you get on. So DRS zones, how many are there?
Two.
Well done. Have you seen any of, like, do you know, being honest, because I know you were watching a video earlier.
Yep.
So, number of laps.
That I do know. And the only reason I know it is because Max overtook Lewis on lap 52.
Yeah.
Which was one lap before the end of the race. Okay. Last year. So, I know that. I know that there's 53 laps.
Fine. I'm going to mix this up. When was the first Grand Prix held? And this is a chance you can win half 1 month of your mortgage.
1962.
You've looked.
No, I have not.
You have. There's no way you get 1962 spot on. There's no
Is
way.
It 1962?
There's no
Show
way.
Show me that it's 1962.
It's 1971. It triggers you so much.
Because I knew I hadn't looked. I actively try and stay away from like finding out facts centered around the track because I know that I'm going to get asked questions. And then I thought, well, now I've just won it, and he's not even going to pay it because he thinks I've cheated.
If you are listening on Spotify,
you know what, I was actually going to say 1972 though.
Were you?
But I did change it.
If you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Luke's face lit up so much.
Because I was gassed that I got it right.
Yeah. Right, lap record. You can have a week. I buy you one of your weekly shops. Remember, it has to be in half a second.
Okay, well, I know the fact that there's 53 laps.
Yeah.
It's a long track you're looking at here, right?
It's just silence. It's funny. I notice when I edit this, sometimes when Luke goes into silence, it's just like nothing for about a good 20 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, Luke, we've got podcasts.
There's people listening just like, just turning it up. Okay. I'm going to say 138.7.
You're well off. 132.7.7.
I wasn't well off.
I mean, it's
130.
You're like 5 seconds off, mate. Who was the holder of that lap, and when was it?
I would have said Lewis in the W11, but they didn't race there in 2020, did they?
No.
I'm going to say Lewis.
Nope, it's Sebastian Vettel in
Seb in
2019.
That was what I was about to say if you hadn't. He interrupted me.
So the top, what I like is on the F1 website, what they do is they put the five top headlines of the week heading to France.
Yep.
So the first one is Ferrari building some momentum. Obviously, they had that good win in Austria.
Yeah, well, I've actually seen that they are convinced that the gap in terms of pace to Red Bull is actually like negligible now.
Yeah,
like they're not worried about it whatsoever.
Who do you think's in the best position at the moment? Do you think if you're Red Bull, who would you rather have? You know, Carlos Sainz is coming back into momentum, and he would have overtaken Max in Austria if it wasn't for the engine blowout. He's looking good. He had that win in Ferrari in Silverstone. If you're a team principal, who would be most confident at the moment? You've got Max. If you've got Max in your side, you always got a great chance.
Yeah.
But Leclerc, Sainz, Perez and Max, let me know. If you're a fan, who do you think's got the biggest momentum at the moment? The Ferrari or Red Bull?
Yeah, and it's tricky because throughout the season, I feel like the pendulum has swung like a few different times. And, you know, at the moment, Red Bull and Verstappen are out ahead. But it does feel like the last couple of races, Ferrari have really sort of taken that momentum back.
Yeah.
So I think in this very moment, you've got to be happier as a Ferrari man.
Yeah.
But I feel that they've got a shadow lingering over them, and that's the reliability issues.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you on that one. Yeah, I think, if you'd be more confident being a Ferrari fan than maybe a Red Bull, because that pendulum is swinging. But again, reliability is playing such a massive part in these.
Yeah. And we said, you know, that as, you know, we talk about the pendulum swinging, but a lot of that has actually been because of Ferrari's reliability.
Yeah, no, I agree. Other news, Mercedes likely to be strong again this weekend. Obviously, they had a good showing in Silverstone. Austria, Hamilton got another podium.
Yeah, I mean, they looked a lot better in Austria than we'd imagine.
Yeah.
And I also think they carried damage into the race from, you know, they had tape on their cars and shit. But what I have seen, I've seen plenty of this. What I'm going to do is actually pull up a tweet, but I did see it on this website called Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Is it new?
Yeah, I think it is quite new, is actually.
What's it about?
It's just a little forum place.
Oh, nice.
But we always...
Have any of you heard of Reddit before? Let us know.
They wouldn't have heard of it. No, it's like indie. So Mercedes upgrades, what we are understanding is that this is the most significant
upgrade. Why do you do this to yourself?
No, no. This has been reported, but very reliably. I don't even know what I'm saying now. I'm just getting excited. But look, right. So Mercedes' gap to the front could be closed before the summer break, as the bouncing is completely solved. So they have no issues of porpoising, bouncing. They're solved.
Yeah.
So that upgrades that have come previously have been addressing those issues. Now, all the data is being directed to performance upgrades to actually make the car quicker.
I can't get excited about it. You've done this to me too many times now.
The engineers, this comes from the Mercedes engineers, say their best upgrade will be one we can't see, most likely under the car. So,
ooh.
I mean, take what you want from it. I know there's been a lot of this shit going around. If you're a Mercedes fan, I'm sorry, because there's probably been so many weeks where maybe I've got your hopes up because I get a bit like excited. Ahead of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did also, on the thread on Reddit, there was someone like talking about the upgrades, and he said, watch this video here. I can't remember who like did the video. If I remember, I'll put it in the description. But it was basically going into depth about what Mercedes are doing. And it looks like we're also getting power unit upgrades, which you are allowed to do up until September, I believe. And then there's a freeze on it until 2025,
yeah.
Because I think you could change certain things up until March, and then it was capped.
Yeah.
And then you can change like other things up until September, and then, yeah.
Then it's capped.
So... I don't know. This is just what's been reported, but...
I can't get excited for it. Well, I want to get excited, but I can't until it actually happens. French back in for Alpine. Obviously, Alpine, this is their home race this weekend.
Yep.
They had some good points in Austria. I'm expecting them to be strong this weekend.
Yeah, and I think we've seen... You know, this is... Bear in mind, this is actually one of the most confusing tracks to look at.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at it from above, I have no idea what's going on. Yep. All those blue lines, they confuse the fuck out of me. but this is a fairly quick track.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a lot of fast parts.
I'm a big fan of this track.
Yeah.
I love playing it on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
In all honesty. But I do like it. And obviously last year, the battle between Max and Lewis was brilliant. Max did come out on top, as you said earlier, on lap 52.
The undercut.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I was going to pretend that didn't happen.
I was like, how weird was that?
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a good race last year. Yeah. Max obviously made that error into turn one. Hamilton took the lead. But it was classic, wasn't it? It was, again, the pendulum was swinging between them two last year and it made it interesting. But I do like the track as a whole, and I think it's a nice track. I'm looking forward to it.
But that's why I think, because, you know, that Alpine to me has shown that it's really quite quick, particularly in a straight line. I feel like it's going to... I'd quite expect it.
Because you've got that long straight, one of the DRS zones are quite a long straight anyway.
Is that the one where Max overtook Lewis?
Yeah, down the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, back straight. Would you like to know the timings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on, everyone. Get your notepad out. Write this down.
You don't have to worry. Just check us out on Instagram. You'll get it all there. So on Friday, practice one is 1 till 2. Practice two is 4 till 5. On Saturday, practice three is 12 till 1. No sprint race here. And qualifying is 3 till 4 on Saturday. The race is 2 till 4.
Aren't they only an hour and a half long?
Yeah, but they remember with crashes, they extended it over that period.
So I'm playing a football tournament on a Sunday.
God, how awful.
So I'm going to watch it on my phone when I can. We'll probably be knocked out by 2 o'clock.
But, where is it?
Brighton.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's nice. And the thing is I'm definitely going to miss the sprint race, which sounds so hypocritical because I actually think it's not very good for the sport, and I've said that. But content-wise, I like having the sprint race.
Yeah. I thought it was good in Austria. I did enjoy it in Austria, yeah. I'll be honest. Italy, I didn't like it.
Yeah, but is that because the Mercedes were really bad there? So we were just like...
No, I just felt it was quite... It wasn't very exciting, maybe yeah. I said.
No, and that is the thing, isn't it, with the sprint race?
Yeah, no, I agree. So on a whole, what are your predictions for this weekend? Who's your top three?
Do I get lured into the Mercedes upgrade?
Should I go first on this one?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it is going to be Leclerc, Sainz, Max.
What, you really think the Red Bulls are going to fall off like that?
I just think if the Ferraris are anything like they were in Austria with that pace.
The Red Bulls did have some really weird tyre deck going on.
Yeah, no, true. Okay, can I change my answer?
No.
Okay.
No, you can. Go on.
All right, so my top three for the French Grand Prix is going to be Charles, Max, Sainz.
I think that is a more reasonable front three. I do think if it is anything like last year, and I know the cars are completely different.
Different cars, mate.
But if it is anything like last year, strategy is going to be so important.
Oh, I agree. And I think Ferrari have kind of hopefully nailed that now after Austria. But who's your top three?
I think I'd probably go... I'm going to get lured into it. I don't care. I'm going to go... Oh, fuck. I'm going to go Lewis. Sorry about that, everyone. Our little, recorder died on us, so we had to go to the shop to get some batteries. Don't really know when it stopped. I think it's somewhere halfway between the delusion. It was probably trying to do me a favour.
It's like, Luke, just shut up, mate. Just shut up.
Hamilton, Leclerc, Verstappen. You heard it here first. Don't go anywhere else for your racing knowledge. You have it all here. And I will be holding everyone to that next week when it comes true.
I mean... I would love to see Hamilton win. Don't get me wrong, I would love to. I think you're being a bit stupid here, yeah. In all honesty. However, you're entitled to your opinion. So if it does happen, I will next week come to you and I'll be like, you know what? Fair play.
And if you haven't got hope, what have you got? It's true. Hold on to that. Take it to the grave.
So I'm looking forward to France. I think it'll be a good race. I think it'll be close between Ferrari and Red Bull. Yeah. I think it's going to be a good race. I do. Let us know what your thoughts are. What are your predictions? Who's your top three? Let us know. But right now we're going to get onto fan questions.
Yeah, which we do every single week.
Have we got some? Because we actually did.
Matt forgot to do it this week. So he turned up and he was talking about what we've got, and I was like, fan questions. He's like, fuck.
that was literally my response.
So we've still got a fair few. Okay.
Why does that look like it's having confused you completely?
No.
It's not about waffling, is it?
No, nothing has.
Will you boys come back soon?
No. So obviously last year, a big part of the title race was the heat within the title race was actually you could hear all the messages that they were sending to the FIA. So, that really got Mercedes fans back up. It got Red Bull fans back up when you could hear Toto on the phone or whatever to the radio to
Toto is a motor, it's a motor race.
And then you had the same when you had Jonathan Wheatley or Christian Horner. It really wound the other fans up.
Yeah.
So obviously this year they've got rid of that. Now, do you think we should still be able to hear that?
Yes.
Can they even communicate with them now during the race?
I think it's limited, isn't it? I think they have to go through certain channels, but I do miss it.
Yeah.
I think the whole sense of, or the whole fact of no Mikey, no, gave us just commentary, which we're going to,
Sadly, remember forever.
Yeah, no, we are. But they're going to be remarks which we are going to remember forever.
I do think also a huge part of that is what actually encapsulated the teams into the rivalry, yeah, rather than just the individual drivers. And I know we had so many great interviews after races with Toto and Christian that really added spice to it. But I do think having that during the race, it really it made you understand the team element,
yeah,
a lot more.
And you felt it more within the rivalry.
Yeah.
I do miss it. I do miss it, I'll be honest.
But I can understand why they got rid of it, because...
Oh, they needed to get rid of it, because it was... Massey last year was...
He was a man under pressure.
He was treated like a puppet.
Yeah.
This is what we want you to do. Okay, no worries. We want you to let all the cars go past and then just put Max behind Lewis on shittier tyres. Is that right? Yeah, no worries.
And then you've got, like, you know, even at Silverstone...
We're over it.
Where Toto's like, oh, you know, I've got an email with, like, the telemetry on and or whatever it was to, like, show why, you know, I think...
And his response was brilliant. I don't check my emails.
Yeah. Why would he check his emails? He's watching a race.
Like, I just imagine him logging on to his AOL account. You know,
AOL.
Like, no, I'm just trying to think of, like, crap, his one. Hotmail account or something.
But, yeah, you know, it is, if you look at it from like a sort of mature standpoint, it's not good. Like, it's not good for the sport. But I think it really did add to the spice last season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one.
Do you see Lando winning a race with McLaren? Or, you know, will we have to wait until he gets to a bigger team?
Obviously, he was close last year in Russia. Very close last year in Russia.
He was.
Again, in all honesty, his immaturity let him down in that aspect.
Yeah, although, do you know what? I was actually...
And that's not digging at him, by the way. That is literally from the sense of...
I was on this, you know, this Reddit website that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of them was like, what a, like... I don't know, it was like, so not conspiracies, but like things that are like generally believed that aren't actually true in F1. And one of them was that the general like thought is that Lando refused to come in. But like the person was saying that's not technically true. If you listen back to the radio messages, they were asking him his opinion.
Yeah.
And he gave his opinion, which was wrong, we later found out. But he never like disobeyed team orders.
No, he didn't. However, when they asked him, should we go to Wets, he screamed down that radio.
Okay, so, but then twist that. Should they be letting a 22, 23-year-old driver make the call when they physically have all the data? You know, we saw Lewis get annoyed at the team just recently because he's like, you're the ones with all the information. And I know it was over something different, but it's like, you tell me.
But I think it was tough last year because you had one part of the track which was bone dry and the other half which was spitting.
And then
within a lap, it was just like torrential rain.
Yeah, and you also had a young driver who was on for his first ever win.
But, you know, you can look at it. Hamilton, he got told to come in, didn't he? He was like, we're not told to come in. He was like, okay, I think we should come in. And he trusted his team. This was a thing where... Lando didn't trust...
But like, the team didn't make the call.
The team should have been stronger in what they were saying, wanting from him.
The
team trusted Lando, and that's where it was wrong. Lando should have trusted the team in what they wanted him to do. So, do I think he will win a race? Not this year. I think he will win with McLaren.
I don't think he can in this McLaren.
No, he will win with McLaren. I do believe that. But I think you're looking at 2023, 2024.
Yeah, because I think also what you have to take into consideration is McLaren last year was actually a pretty decent car.
They won, did they? You know, they won in Imola. So.
So I think they had a much more competitive car last year.
Yeah.
If it was going to happen, it would have been last year. I personally think he would have won Monza as well, had team orders not come into play.
Yeah, but I think we're going to... I'd like to see him win with McLaren because they've invested a lot into him. So I'd like him to win there. But I don't think it'd be this year, no.
No, and I think right now, to be honest, they're looking like a stepping stone team for him
anyway. Yeah, it could be.
If you'd need to replace five drivers out of the current grid... Who would they be? I assume, does he mean if you're taking five drivers out?
Yeah.
You can do the ins if you have ins, but...
I don't have ins, but I'd five out. Stroll.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's been half decent past few races.
But he's not like...
No, but we have that thing about the money kids.
We've that bond with him. Latifi.
Yeah.
Danny Rick.
Harsh, but true.
Ooh, who else would I take out? That's hard, man, because they're the three I initially go for.
But now you can also look back to the Alonso point that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Would you take Seb out? Everyone loves Seb.
Yeah, so I think he's great for the sport.
Okay, but technically Lance Stroll is great for the sport because he brings a lot of money with him.
Yeah, no. Oh, this is tough, man.
Max, I would take Max.
Yeah, I'll take Max Verstappen out. Get him out of there. So that's my four. And my fifth one would probably be Charles Leclerc. Just take all the top two out. Just leave Hamilton.
Just let Hamilton win.
I think it's tough. I think I have a definite three, but it'd be hard to know about the other
five,
two.
Five is quite a lot because I think you've got... There are drivers that you could question.
Yeah.
But they're still so fresh.
Yeah. Who would you pick?
I would agree with your three. I genuinely believe everyone else still deserves that's their seat.
I'd agree with you. I think Mick has claimed his place now. Well, on the road to claim his place.
Yeah, he's shown potential.
Magnussen, I love. Ocon's doing brilliantly. Alonso's great for the sport.
Alonso is also doing brilliantly.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's what, yeah. Gasly, Tsunoda, I like those two.
Yeah, and you know, the car has been a bit of a shit box.
Has. But yeah, I think it's those three. Okay. One more question?
You can have one more question. They're now asking, when are we going to be racing them on F1?
Well, mate, I'm ready to... Well, I say I'm ready to go. I'm still pretty crap, but...
We need to wait for crossplay.
You need crossplay because you otherwise can't play.
I'm on a PC. Matt's on a PlayStation. Inevitably, some of you are going to be on Xbox, PlayStation, PC. When crossplay comes out, we'll all play together and we will get something sorted.
And I will win.
Hold it to that because it won't happen.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But no, on a whole, I'm looking forward to this weekend. We will get a race up and coming. Coming up. We also will get a guest on the show soon. I know some people have asked for a guest. Now Luke's got a bit of time now and now he's unemployed. Do you think you'll do a TikTok this week?
Yeah. No, that's going to... I've started I'm regimenting my life. 9 to 5. I don't know what I'm doing 9 to 5.
I'm going to sit on the sofa from 9 to 5 and after that I'm free.
But no, I'm going to try and make 3 TikToks a week.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going to do one every morning.
All right.
Watch me.
All right.
Watch me.
I believe it when I see it. So, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Luke, thank you very much. Congratulations again on your graduation.
Yeah.
And commiserations for waffling.
Yeah. Rest in peace, my job.
But, guys, check us out on all social medias, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, leave us a like, subscribe if you're new. And we'll be back next week reviewing France. Hopefully, your predictions are right and Lewis Hamilton will be taking a win.
And then, I believe we're off to Spa.
We are.
Which is not being... It's being dropped from the next season.
Since when?
And that was something I saw. We'll speak about that next week when we talk about Spa, but I'm pretty sure it's not happening next year.
No, I don't believe that's true. We'll look at it. Well, actually, if it's anything like the shit show last year... You know, what was it?
Yeah, well, that was some bullshit, but that wasn't the
track's fault. It wasn't the track. Don't blame the track. Don't cry about it. So, guys, hit like button, subscribe if you're new, and until next week, we shall catch you later. Bye-bye.